Thanks for joining us for the weekend edition of In Spirit and Truth with Pastor J.D. Farag of Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe. Each Friday and Saturday here on In Spirit and Truth, Pastor J.D. gives a Mideast prophecy update from an Arab perspective as he connects the dots of current events geopolitically with last day's prophecies biblically. It is our belief that the next event on God's prophetic clock is the rapture of the Church of Jesus Christ. It is our hope that these Bible prophecy updates will not only ready you and steady you for His return, but that they will also encourage you to share the gospel with others in order that the rapture will not be as a thief in the night. Though many in the Christian world think otherwise, the three Abrahamic faiths, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, are not the same. Today, Pastor J.D. unashamedly shares the truth about the false religion of Islam and the need for all those practicing Judaism to be saved. Christianity stands alone as the only faith that will afford a person entrance into heaven. Now, don't forget to stay with us after today's prophecy update to learn how you can become a Facebook friend or watch the weekly prophecy update on YouTube. Now, here's Pastor J.D. with today's prophecy update as shared on May 28, 2017.
When I was a child, my mother used to pronounce an Arabic blessing on me. In Arabic, it was Bism Allah Alek. In English, that means the name of Allah be upon you. My mom had done this in an innocent naivete. She grew up. I mean, if you get an Arabic Bible today, the word in Arabic for God is Allah. Allah. As in the title of God. And by the way, this I don't want to get too far off of this on this, but in Numbers 6, you have the Aaronic blessing where Moses is commanded to have Aaron pronounce this blessing on the children of Israel every time they would meet at the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. And every time the Israelites would go to the tabernacle, Aaron would pronounce the blessing of the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and lift up his countenance to you and be gracious unto you and give you peace. And then after the Aaronic blessing, it says this, and I will put my name on them. My name. And oh, by the way, you might recall from prior prophecy updates that God put literally his name on Jerusalem. His name of ownership is on his people and on his city, Jerusalem. His name. Now, why do you go into all of that? Because it's about the name. Allah is the name of the false god of Islam, the moon god. Please, I beg you, do not make synonymous Allah with Jehovah. They are not the same. Oh, Pastor, it's really subtle though. Well, aren't we to be more discerning? I hope I don't give anybody a flashback here. You remember this group, Queen, and that song, Bohemian Rhapsody? I won't sing it. That would be torture. I won't do that. But can I just share with you some of the words to this song? Easy come, easy go. Will you let me go? Bismillah. No, we will not let you go. Let him go. Sorry. I could just hear that high pitched, you know, tone. Let him go. We will not let you go. Let him go. We will not let him go. Sorry. That's bad. I know. Said I wouldn't do that. Let him go. Bism Allah. We will not let you go. Let him go. Bism Allah. We will not let you go. Let me go. We will not let you go. Let me go. We will not let you go. Let me go. No, 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 no. Oh, mamma mia, mamma mia, mamma mia. Let me go. Beelzebub. Beelzebub has a devil put aside for me, for me, for me. Bismillah? Am I being too hypersensitive here? It's my belief that, and again, to Trump's credit, he did not say Allah, he said God, very generic. My question is, when you're in Saudi Arabia, amongst all of these Muslim nations and leaders, and you're delivering a speech, and you say, God, pray tell, which God? Which God? I want to know which God you're referring to. Because when you say God in a Muslim country, they hear Allah. Well, he didn't say Allah. He doesn't have to. To them, God is Allah. And this is why it's a very subtle and easy step and reach and do to say, well, we all worship the same God. Again, President Trump, to his credit, did not state this in his speech. However, it didn't stop others from saying it instead of him. It wasn't the U.S. president that stated, we all worship the same God. It was the Israeli president, Reuven Rivlin. On Monday, the Times of Israel published a report on how Rivlin thanked Trump for recognizing the significance of Jerusalem to the Jewish people. Just let me share with you a couple of quotes from the Israeli president. It makes us very happy to know that Israel's most important ally recognizes the significance of Jerusalem to the Jewish people all around the world. Jerusalem is the beating heart of the Jewish people as it has been for 3,000 years. Rivlin mentions the fact that Trump, during his first visit overseas as U.S. president, will visit the holy sites of all three Abrahamic religions. We each have different beliefs, but we all worship the same God. The Israeli president says. In addition to Israel's president, I was somewhat disturbed last week by the so-called Palestinian president, Mahmoud Abbas. Pictured here is one of the many banners throughout Bethlehem for President Trump's visit this last week, with both the president's picture and the picture of Mahmoud Abbas on it, and written on it are the words, and I quote, "The city of peace welcomes the man of peace." I suppose I could be accused of being too quick to toss in the Trump towel, as it were, but it may be that I'm hypersensitive again when it comes to yet another U.S. president pressuring Israel to compromise. What? Is the president doing that? Well, on Thursday, Ynet News quoted U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson saying that U.S. President Donald Trump has, quote, pressured Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas to renew the peace negotiations during his visit to Israel and the West Bank this week. The president was very forceful in his encouragement to both of them to be serious about approaching these discussions in the future and recognize they have to compromise. Everyone has to compromise, said Tillerson, stressing the negotiations' importance by suggesting that Israeli-Palestinian peace could be a catalyst to greater regional peace. Last week I mentioned that there were many mixed messages coming from the president, and it seems that I'm actually in some pretty good company with the likes of Caroline Glick, who has some interesting insight into this, and I'd like to just share with you briefly. The same inconsistency and lack of clarity about Trump's intentions and his level of willingness to reject the establishment narrative on foreign policy is even more blatant in everything related to Israel and the Palestinian war against it. Listen, during his speech in Saudi Arabia, Trump repeated the obnoxious practice of his predecessors and left Israel off the long list of countries that are affected by terrorism. During his brief visit to Israel, Trump will also go to Bethlehem, this is prior, to meet with Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas. By insisting on meeting with Abbas during his lightning visit to Israel, Trump signals that he agrees with the narrative view that the U.S. cannot support Israel without also, interesting word, legitimizing and supporting the PLO and its terror-funding kleptocracy, the Palestinian Authority. Finally, even when Trump has adopted a position that repudiates the establishment's line, the fact is that the establishment's members dominate his foreign policy team. And as a consequence, they do everything they can to dilute the significance of his moves. This was clearly in evidence in relation to Trump's decision to visit the Western Wall on Monday. Embassy officers angrily rejected Israel's request that Netanyahu join Trump during his visit to the Jewish holy site, insisting that the Western Wall, get this, isn't in Israel. What? In so acting, these Obama holdovers, and that's what they are, were backed by McMaster, who refuses to admit that the Western Wall is in Jerusalem. In other words, even when Trump tries to embrace fact over narrative, his failure to populate his foreign policy team with iconoclasts like himself has made it all but impossible for him to abandon the anti-Israel narrative guiding U.S. policy. None of this means, please listen, that Israelis have lost hope in Trump. To the contrary, they have enormous hope in him. But they recognize that so long as the same hostile, false narrative about Israel and the establishment that clings to it dominate Trump's thinking and policies, the promise of his presidency will not be met. Here's the bottom line. Regardless of whether or not the hope and promise of Trump's presidency is met, Bible prophecy is being met. And by the way, again, let me parenthetically say, my hope is not in President Donald Trump. There's going to be no peace in the Middle East until the Prince of Peace comes. That's not where my hope is. My hope is in Jesus. Time doesn't permit. There are prophecies, specific prophecies like Ezekiel 38, verse 13, which is concerning Saudi Arabia, only protesting, some believe, with Europe and the U.S., only protesting this Russian-Iranian-led attack against Israel. I think if anything, what we saw last week with the President of the United States in Saudi Arabia, clearly against Iran, was a further step towards the fulfillment of Ezekiel chapter 38. Everything is lined up perfectly. I'll even take it a step further and say, I don't know how it could be lined up more perfectly. Everything is coming together exactly as we're told it would. I am keenly aware that sharing this will still be met with many a critical spirit. I have to honestly and candidly say that I was a little bit taken back by many Christians excoriating me for, quote, bashing Trump. That concerns me, by the way. For one thing, I never bashed the president. I have great respect for the president and admiration. Again, in as much as he's pro-Israel and pro-Christian, he's our president, and I support him all the way. But I was a little bit taken back by those who, as Christians, are just, I mean, so pro-Trump that if you say anything against the president, you're not saved. I mean, I actually had to, like we just saw in 2 Corinthians, had to ask myself the question, I'm pretty sure I'm still saved, but wow. I want to share with you a story. It's really a parable of sorts, and I do so. You've probably heard maybe a different version. There are many versions of this, but I've tailored it for purposes of application in the context of today, and I do this in closing. The story goes like this. A father and a son take their donkey and they go to town to get supplies. And so the father rides the donkey, the son walks beside the father riding the donkey, and they get to town, and the townspeople start criticizing the young man, the father, for being such a slave driver. And they start being critical of him, and they say of him, look at that slave driver, he rides the donkey while he makes his son walk. So the next time they go to town, the father says, I know, son, why don't you ride the donkey, I'll walk, whatever. So the son rides the donkey, the father walks, and sure enough, when they get to town, the townspeople start criticizing them. Look at that shameful young man. He's young and strong, and he's riding the donkey, and he makes his poor father walk. Shame on him. So father says, okay, listen, son, next time we go to town, let's just both ride the donkey. Okay, so they both ride the donkey. They arrive in town to get supplies, and sure enough, there's the townspeople. That poor donkey, the weight that they're putting on that poor donkey, both riding him. Dad says, okay, you know what? Next time you're going to town, neither of us are going to ride the donkey, okay? Surely they will not criticize us. So here they come, both walking alongside the donkey, neither of them riding the donkey. And what happens? Here's the townspeople. And what do they say? Look at those stupid idiots. They have a donkey and they don't ride him. What is the matter with them? What's your point, Pastor? Well, I'm so glad you asked. The point of the parable is you cannot please man. And I just want to say very clearly that I will never be a man pleaser. If God tells me to not ride the donkey, or even if he tells me I am the donkey, which is usually the case, then it doesn't matter what you think. Okay? As long as I'm pleasing to God, that's all that matters. Because on that great and final day, I want to stand before him, and I want him to say to me, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in. Those are the words I long to hear. I want to please him. I serve him. I want to please him. Paul, again, writing to the churches in Galatia chapter 1, verse 10, and we're almost done, says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For, listen, If I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant, doulos in the Greek, a bondslave of Christ. Who am I slave to? Fear of man is a snare. It's an enslaving snare. I fear God. That's the beginning of wisdom. And that's the question that's before every single one of us this morning, isn't it? Am I a bondservant of Christ? As we studied in 2 Corinthians, am I truly born again? Am I truly born again? Is Christ in me and am I in him? If you'll give me just a couple more minutes, I want to share with you the ABCs of salvation. I want to do something a little bit different along with this, in that I also want to share the scripture references concerning the A and the B and the C. The A is for admit, or if you prefer, acknowledge that you're a sinner in need of the Savior. This is Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're all born sinners. That's why we have to be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. The B is for believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. And this is Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, which says, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. And the C is for call upon the name of the Lord, or again, if you prefer, confess. And this is also Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, which says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Romans 10, 13 says that all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. The only name given among men, the name of Jesus, whereby we can be saved. Father in heaven, thank you for the patience of your people and their love for you and your word and your truth. Lord, I thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and that you, Jesus, are the only way to the Father. Lord, I pray for anybody here today or watching online by some other way that has never called upon you to be saved, that today they would acknowledge their sins, put their trust in you for the forgiveness of their sins, believing in their heart, confessing with their mouths that they today would call upon you, Lord, and be saved.
Thanks for joining us for this special edition of In Spirit and Truth with Pastor J.D. Farag of Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe. Now, it's so important that you hear the purpose behind these prophecy updates that Pastor J.D. shares. The purpose is to see people just like you come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. When you're right with the Lord, you'll be ready for the Lord and His soon return. You can do this by first admitting you're a sinner, that you've broken God's perfect law. Second, you need to confess that there's nothing you can do to fix this. You can't attend church enough, you can't pray enough or give enough money. There's nothing you can do to atone for your sins. Third, you must realize that there is someone who can. His name is Jesus Christ, and He is the Savior of the world. He gave His own life so that you wouldn't have to experience the penalty for your sins, which is death. Please, if you're listening today, receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior and escape the realities of the prophecies that are being fulfilled all around you. For more information about what it means to be born again into the kingdom of God, log on to InSpiritAndTruthRadio.com and select the New Believers option. Again, that web address is inspiritandtruthradio.com. Now, in the next edition of In Spirit and Truth, Pastor JD will be teaching through God's Word, just like he does Monday through Thursday. And then don't forget to join us next Friday and Saturday for another timely prophecy update. Until then, may God bless you and keep you in his love.